Okay, good morning everybody. We are in Parshas Mishpatim. So I'd like to take a look at one of the mitzvahs in this week's parsha. The apostle tells us, "V'chol asher amarti aleichem tishomeru," be careful regarding everything I have commanded you. "V'shem elohim acherim lo yisazkiru," do not mention the name of elohim acherim, of other gods. "Lo yishama al picha," it should not be heard on your mouth. So do not mention it. So simple pshat in the pasuk Rashi says, "Lo yisazkiru," do not mention it. "Shlo yoyma loy shmor li v'tzad avodah zarah ployis," do not use the avodah zarah as a landmark to say, "Well, I'll meet you by the corner next to such and such avodah zarah, oitam oidim," or "we're going to meet for yom avodah zarah ployis on such a day of avodah zarah." So that's well, it's going to be a sort of tolo, but it is not automatically included in that commandment. It's learned out from here. Now I'd like to look at another angle of mentioning, so to speak, mentioning Elohim Acherim, mentioning other gods, which may not technically fall under this prohibition, but it's a fascinating topic. And that is the issue of whether there is any prohibition, or how serious is the prohibition for a person to identify himself as a non-Jew. Let's say, Chalila, le'aleinu v'le'aleichem, in a situation of a Shas HaGezeira, a Shas HaShmad, where there's some sort of Gezeira that they're going to kill every Jew. So, they ask him, "Are you a Jew?" So he wants to say, "No, I'm not a Jew, I'm a non-Jew." So say, "I'm a Gentile." Is it permitted to do such a thing or not? This is the shayla I'd like to look at a little bit today. So look at first the background in Chazal, and then some various different permutations and situations of this shayla. So it actually starts out in quite a surprising Maran Bokhan. It begins with a deal in a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Mishnah discusses various modes of behavior, how we should deal with the Gentile population, our relationship with them. But so it tells us in the Mishnah, "V'lo tisyachid isha imohem ibnei shechashudim al ha'arois." A lady should not seclude herself in privacy with a non-Jew, ibnei shechashudim al ha'arois. Okay, also with a Jew, they want to ask that question, but leave that on the side for the moment. "Ibnei shechashudim al ha'arois," because there is concern of their immoral behavior. Then it says, "V'lo yisyachid omom imohem," also a man shouldn't seclude himself privately with a non-Jew, because we are concerned that they are suspect to kill him. They are choshed that maybe they will be shekech dom. So the Yerushalmi asks a question over here. Yerushalmi asks, well, says a woman shouldn't seclude herself because of chashash kila arois, and a man shouldn't seclude himself because of chashash shpichus domi. So, frek the Gemara Akasha in the Yerushalmi, well, is a lady, is there no concern of shpichus domi? With a lady, it has to come on to some other concern, gilei arois. Now, it might be gilei arois. The same shpichus domi which applies to the man applies also to the lady. So, answers the Yerushalmi that there's a difference. A man will not be able to present himself as a non-Jew. He won't be able to answer, just say, "I'm a non-Jew." Why? Because if the guy really wants, he can check it out. He can see whether he has a bris milah or not, which is the hallmark of being a Jew. So the man isn't going to be able to present himself as being a non-Jew. He can't say, when the guy starts to threaten him, no, "I'm one of you, I'm a non-Jew," because he has bris milah. So he's not going to be able to corroborate his story. But a lady could just say that she's a non-Jew. But not such a big deal. Well, not such a big deal, but there's no less concern of Shvichus Domim, because she'll say that she's a non-Jew. But the concern is Gilei Arois. So this Gemara would appear to indicate that there's nothing wrong. A person is allowed, at least in a situation of Sakona, to present themselves as a non-Jew. Therefore, the lady can do that, and there won't be any Chashash Shvichus Domim. The problem is that for a man, he just won't be practical. He won't be able to do that because the guy can check it out. That's what the Yerushalmi says. And this is quoted in the Rosh on this Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Let's have a look what the Rosh says about this. Yerushalmi, he quotes this Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi answers and explains, Yechoyla ha'isha la'hatmin atzma v'loyla ha'vedes kechavim hi. A woman can disguise herself and say that she is a goy. For ish eina yofa la'hatmin atzma, but a man is not able to fully hide his Jewish identity. Eim l'datik mikam, says the Rosh, do not prove to me from here, do not show me a proof from here that it is permitted to say that one is a non-Jew, Kadesh lo yaragu, in order that they shouldn't kill him. The Vadai, most certainly, says the Rosh, it is not permitted. Koifer be'ikaru. Most certainly, one is not allowed to, and it is considered a form of tfira for a person to present himself as a non-Jew. The fact that a person presents himself as a non-Jew, it lies in that, if you're saying you're a non-Jew, so it lies in that you don't accept, Khalilah, the basic tenets of faith that lie within the Jewish religion, accepting the Hashem Echad and the Torah's Moshe Emes, etc., etc. It lies in that you don't accept these things, and therefore it's kofer v'ikar, and for that, you have to give up your life.
But this is a proceeding.
Yes, so the Rosh is understanding.
Not one of the three.
So the Rosh is understanding that all type of kefir of the Iker is a branch of Avodah Zarah. It's a big chiddush.
It's a big chiddush.
We might not have said this.
But it seems to be a structure in place only when they try to force you to convert to their religion. If so, it's a hatred like with Arabs or whatever, for example, and that they just want to kill the Jews because they're Jews.
Yeah.
Or Israelis because they're Israelis. Maybe.
Yes, I was also wondering about this. And in fact, if we'll read the next line of the Rosh, it really supports what you're saying. The Kivin Sherutz in the Hurgo in the Yafos Lodosan. Since they wish to kill him, unless he will convert to their religion, the Yer Ovid Kachavim Kmoisar, and be a non-Jew like them, so then, Vabe Kishoim Ovid Kachavim Hu. So most certainly when he says that he's a non-Jew, that is indicating that he has accepted their religion, and that's the prohibition. And says the Rosh, don't bring any proof from that Yerushalmi, but he be Yerushalmi. Why did the Yerushalmi say that the lady could present herself as a goy? It doesn't mean that it's permitted, but simply that the Yerushalmi says, she might do that. So there might not be such a chashash of shvichas tovim, but there is a chashash of gilui aroeis. But the Maaseh, it's not permitted to do so. Now let's just mention further about what Ravuna brought up. Is this only in this sort of particular situation where there's like a sort of religious hatred, and they're officially offering you this alternative, either say that you're a non-Jew, or which is a little bit the implication of the Rosh. However, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch just make a sort of flat statement without giving any further background, any further detail, without describing it like the Rosh describes, that they want you to become a non-Jew, or by becoming a non-Jew accept their faith, etc., etc. They just say as a flat statement that it is forbidden for a person to say that he is a non-Jew, and they don't give any further detail. And it appears we need further investigation. We're not talking here, Khalil, about any halacha or maisa situations. It appears more from the poskim that they understood it to be an absolute klal, that a person not allowed to say that he's a non-Jew, even where the hatred is based more on a sort of physical background, like with the Nazis, where it doesn't help really that you're going to accept their religion. It's not a religious issue.
So would you say that somebody going among the going and he feels very uncomfortable for whatever reason and he wants to get his yarmulke
off? Oh, so that's a different thing. Now what about, that's exactly the next stage we're going to come to, what about to give the general impression that you're a goy, without openly saying that you're a goy? Here we're talking about a very sort of more extreme type of scenario. They ask you, are you Jewish? And you say, no, I'm not Jewish, I'm a non-Jew. That's what we're discussing at the moment. Now what about slightly more watered down situations? We'll come to that in a second. Let's just conclude what we're saying, because they discuss, and we'll look soon at some of the chores, they discuss very much these types of situations during the Second World War, there are a number of tshuvas about this. What is one allowed to do and what one is not allowed to do, and they presume that these halakhos apply. There are some, as we're going to see, there are some situations that some things that are permitted.
The Rosh was in Spain, right?
During the time of the Inquisition or something? No, the Rosh is before the Inquisition. The Rosh is in the 1200s. He was not originally in Spain. I think that he escaped to Spain, if I'm not mistaken. He was in France, Germany. And he was a Talmud of the famous Maharami Rothenberg, yeah? And Maharami Rothenberg was imprisoned in the castle, wherever it was. And when he passed away, I think they wanted to cut the Rosh in his place. And he had to escape. And he ran away, I think, to Spain. Okay, so the Sefer Ozarua points out that in fact, it appears to be a machloikis in the Yerushalmi. Because when the Yerushalmi asks this question, we'll come back to that Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Why is it that with a lady we only mention the chashash gila arroyas? We say, shouldn't we miss Yaakov with a guy because of gila arroyas? What about shpichus domim? Doesn't say. So one parent in the Yerushalmi said, because so she's able to say that she's a non-Jew. So that indicates maybe that it's permitted. Says the Ozarua, there's two tirutzim in the Yerushalmi. And actually this is the point of machloikas in the Yerushalmi. Says the Ozarua, there's another teretz. Why, with a lady, it doesn't say the chashash of shvichas domin, it says the chashash of gilei arroyos. There's a second teretz. The second teretz in the Yerushalmi is, not because she's able to present herself as a non-Jew, but because a lady can present herself as being available for the sexual pleasures of the goy, and then the goy won't kill her. So he won't kill her, but then there's just chashash of gilei arroyos. There's chashash of gilei arroyos. And she'll say she's very beautiful, and the guy will take her to enjoy his pleasures. So there won't be shechus on him. There'll just be gilaros. That's why the Mishnah says gilaros. That's the second parents in Yerushalmi. That's why it says it's just a question of pshat in the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah say that she shouldn't be mizyach because of gilaros? Why do you say shechus on him? Second parents in Yerushalmi, there's no chashash of shechus on him because she would be able to present herself to the goy. The chashash is gilei arroyos. Says the Ozarua, what is the machlokes between these two terutzim? What lies behind it? The other teretz says that the lady could just say that she's a goy. You know what lies behind it, says Ozarua? They're being choinik about this very point. Is she indeed allowed to say that she's a goy or not? One teretz says that she is allowed to, and the other teretz says, no, she's not allowed to, and there's a different reason why there's no chashash bechusdom. It's a machlokes in Yerushalm. Either way, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Rosh Paskins, that it is forbidden, even in situations of Sakonis Nefoshes, to openly say that one is a non-Jew. However, there are some, let's call it slightly watered-down situations, where one is permitted to at least give the impression, let's say, that one is a non-Jew. So this is based upon a Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, who sends us to two sources in Chazal, where we see two cases of examples where people presented themselves as non-Jews without openly saying, I'm a non-Jew. So let's have a look through the Nebuchadnezzar and we'll see what they are. For Oiv Li Rai, I have another proof for Zeh regarding this matter. Omar Rava makes the following statement. Shari Lei, the Tzurva Mirabolam, it is permitted for a Ben Torah, the Gemara says, Lameinar, to say, Avda Denura Ano. I am the servant of the fire. The fire, Nura, the Esh, the fire, Esh. I am the servant of the fire. Lo Yahid the Karaga, and I do not need to pay the tax. So we're talking about some sort of tax collector, of extortion money, more than the types of tax collectors common in the times of the Gemara. They took taxes that they weren't meant to be taking. So, there's some way of exempting yourself from the tax. You say, I am a servant of the fire. The tax collector, this non-Jewish tax collector, he understands that you are a priest of this Avodah Zarah, which one serves by fire. those priests, they're potter from paying the tax. So there you go, that's what he understands. And in fact, you'll intend, obviously, Chalila, you don't mean that you're a priest of the Avodah Zarah. What do you mean when you say I'm a servant of the fire? Shteitim Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eish Oichlohu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared, so to speak, to Eish, Eish Oichlohu, Keil Kama. So you intend that you're a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You say you're a servant of the fire. And in fact, they think one thing and you mean something else. And it's permitted. And in fact, not only is it permitted, let's pay attention, it's permitted just for purposes of saving your money. How much more so is it permitted for purposes of saving your life? So there we have one situation where a person is permitted to give the impression without having openly said. So this is what we call, the post can call it a lishna de mishtama le trei anpi, a sentence that can be understood in two ways. You can understand, if you want, the guy will understand one thing, and you mean something else. So the guy will understand that you're a priest of the fire, and you mean that you're Eved Hashem. That's one thing that's permitted. In addition, in the second paragraph of that Nebuchadnezzar, Yosef, Acharkach, Maltzofi v'medrash Rabba v'parshas Vayishlach. After I found in the medrash in Parshas Vayishlach, Shnei Talmidim shel Rabbi Yeshua. There were two Talmidim of Rabbi Yeshua. Shinu atifoson v'shas hashmas. This is what was just asked. They changed their clothing in a time of the gezeirah. Pogra bohem is tritus mumar. They met up with a particular mumar, a Jew who had gone off the derech. Amalohem, so he says to them, im boner shel Torah atem, if you are true servants of the Torah, tnu nashachem amel, so give up your life for it. Why have you changed your clothing? And if you're not, then come and join me. Amri Leif, they said to him, Bonel Onu, we are indeed the servants of the Torah, Bonel Onu Nerogim, and we are prepared to give up our life. We see in this medrash that they were prepared to give up their life. Im kol zeh hayu rashoyim l'shalos malbushein malbushah. They are permitted to change their clothing to non-Jewish clothing. So despite the fact that they were prepared to give up their life, and indeed when they asked them openly, then they said, yes, we are Ovdei Hashem. But to change their clothing is permitted. In fact, this goes to such an extent that the poets can say, not only some to change clothing to not openly Jewish clothing, but even to change your clothing, change your clothing to shatnas. Shatnas, type of clothing that, as if we have knowledgeable goyim who will know that Jews do not wear this type of clothing because it's forbidden for them. So the Jew will dafka put on kilayim so that they won't recognize him. They'll say, oh, but he's wearing kilayim, obviously he can't be Jewish, he must be non-Jew. So again, that's just this. What are we discussing? We're discussing a situation where it is pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh. So pikuach nefesh is doich everything in the Torah. Only included as a branch of Avodah Zarah, one cannot say openly that one is a non-Jew. But to give the impression that one is a non-Jew is permitted. And even to give that impression via doing a particular isur is also permitted. So basically the klali that we've come out with is it's forbidden to openly say that one is a non-Jew, but to give the impression that one is a non-Jew, either A, by using lishna d'mishtama l'trei anpi, using words that can be explained in two ways, or by changing clothing, changing behavior, that type of thing, where one hasn't openly said that one is a non-Jew, all that is permitted. So let's just read these halachas as they are brought in Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll look at a couple of slightly more lemaisa dika situations.
I know people, very frustrated people, who got through the war in Germany by dressing up as non-Jews.
Sure, well done. Well done, that's this halacha. So this is the Shulchan Aruch. Also, the other loyvash who obeys kechavim kadei shlo yaharu. It's forbidden for a person to say that he's a non-Jew in order that they shouldn't kill him. Aval, In Kadesh, lo yakirush, you Yehudi, mishanem al bushay, even order that they shouldn't recognize him, one changes one's clothing, bishar sagazera, mutter. That's permitted. Kimu cheina oimei shoim is mechavim, since he's not openly saying it. Says Diramo, bachal gam, the otzel loimach, you oimei kechavim, even though it's forbidden to say that he's a non-Jew, mikol lokem yuchal loimach lohem, loshin de mishkava litre ampin. One can say a loshin that can be understood in two ways. For oimei kechavim, yabinu shua oimei shoim is mechavim, the goy will think he's saying he's a non-Jew. Who yachavim the rov ache, and he'll think something else. Now let's look at a couple of practical situations where this was relevant. One of them is mentioned in one of the very early Achronim, Peres Chaim, where he brings the following example of a lishna de mishtama lechrei anpi. Ukvar shomati al gobil echov in akad moyim. I've heard that one of the early gedolim sheshalu b'shas hagzeira im yehudim. So they asked him, "Are you a Jew?" So he came up with an amazing etzah. So he said, we know in Yiddish or in German and these types of related lashonos, so we have the word kein. Kein means like not. Kein, ich bin nicht kein, I am not a whatever it is. So they asked him, Are you Jewish? So he answered them back, kein yud. I'm not kein yud. I'm not a Jew. That's what they thought he was saying. I'm not a Jew. And in fact, he had intent, like we have in Lashon HaKodesh. Ken v'nos sloch kol dovrois. They're speaking correctly. I'm indeed a Jew. So there you have a very basic lishna de mishtama letrei ampi wording that we understood twice. And indeed, he says he answered them back. The little the last word on the page, he was saved. It worked. They accepted it. Fine. You're a Jew. They let him go, and he was saved.
You
can have. So now let's have a look. We'll turn on the next slide at two sources of great gedolim who answered tshuvas in the times of the Second World War. The first one is from a very famous rav. His name was Rav Ephraim Oshry, who was the rav in the Kovna ghetto. And he himself miraculously survived the war. He was afterwards, I think, a rov in America. I think it was translated into English.
Yes.
Yeah. So he has, you know, unfortunately, some terrible shyness there. So one of them relates to this topic. Let's have a look at the shyness. Nishalti. I was asked, the ghetto kovn, in the kovn ghetto, Yisrael sheyesh lo shem shemishtama k'shem ha'am. A Jew who has a name which sounds similar to a non-Jewish name. Kamo yishesh shechiyach tuba ben Yehudei Ashkenaz, as is very usual, very common amongst German Jewry. Still to this very day, many Jews have a name, at least what we call an English name, a non-Jewish name doesn't necessarily sound especially Jewish. That's his name. So yesh lo passport kaze, and he has such a passport. Oh, he's mikoyim la mulchama from before the war. So he's got such a passport. Ukeiz mipnei hatzakona, and now due to the danger, peritzoyno lichtev betoychei gam ha'osiyos. He wants to put into the passport the letters reish kuf. Well, it wasn't reish kuf. That was how he put it in his tshuvas, but it was RK. RK or RC? What's RK or RC? RK or RC stands for Roman Catholic. I don't know exactly how the passport system worked in that time, but it appears that maybe in this period a person's religion was also recorded in his passport, or could be recorded in his passport. So he'll find, I presume probably you have to pay a good fee to some forger who'll do this for you. And they'll put into the passport RC, Roman Catholic. It's just Russian papers. It's good enough.
RC Cola.
Yeah, okay, RC Cola wasn't around in those times, but maybe he would have written that if. To Russian Tevois Ha'emuna Shelayim, which is the Russian Tevois of their belief, Romish Catholic. Yeah, Roman Catholic. Romish Catholic. Leman Shiachua Lord Shimakum. So when he'll present this passport at whatever, you know, event place, they'll think that he's a god. In the age for the Isu Shal Moidevah, is this permitted or not? So, I've only put it here the last paragraph of the Chuba, but it's basically he goes through the discussion we've been through, and as we've seen, to present oneself as a goy with a lishna to mishtaba letrei anfi, with something that can be understood in two ways, is permitted. So here we go, he says. So here you are, you'll present this passport. And they'll think that you're saying you're a Roman Catholic. So you can have a different kavanah. So you'll say, R.K. Exactly like we said before from that Acharon, Cain Yid, his mother Yid. So R.K. They'll say, Cain Roman. You know, Cain Roman, I'm not a Roman Catholic. K.R. I'm not a Roman Catholic. And he's Matur. Well, I say he's Matur. The exact same Shaila was also asked to another one of the Gedolim of that time in a slightly different area.
But in this case, if the guard said, what is RC, he cannot say Roman Catholic.
Lechayra, he won't be able to. If the guy will ask him, he might be in a tough spot, yeah. Lechayra.
You'll say, can Roman Catholic?
Yeah, you'll find some clever way to answer. Lechayra. The exact same Shaila was asked also to another god of that time. The Chuvah's Mishnah Sochir, his name was Harav Teichtal. He was an Adam Gadol Ma'od from Slovakia, I think. From Slovakia. And he unfortunately did not survive the war, actually. Exactly so. Ema Bonim Smecha, yes. Amazing book. Eva Bonim Smecha, he has a sefer about the Hashivus of Mitzvah Tishah B'Yisrael. That's a whole different discussion on its own. But he also had a number of works of Shailus for Tshuvas. And he has a tshuva exactly about this. Shuv Nish'alti, he says, I was asked, May Rav Godel Echot, from a great Adam Godel, from Maisa Shabbal Afonon, for Echot Shahoel, the Fonon, Inyan Nochutz, Lissalon Dinas Hanan. He wanted to travel to Hungary. Presumably, he doesn't say any more details, but presumably because the Germans only came to Hungary much, much later on in the war, and he wanted to escape to Hungary. I mean, he's thrown no kibble visas, but a Jew couldn't get a visa. Rak bali das acher, only if you were from a different religion. For Nishal in Rasha Nikat to Ulu Kose, Ashenushan Roshi Tevis, Shuhu ben das RK. He actually says RK in the Chuvus, Shu Roshi Tevis, Romish Akathanish. But Tidavati Lahokim. And he says, also very sweetly, the same tshuva, but he gives it a different twist. He says, you know, RK, so what is RK? So the guy thinks it's Roman Catholic. So it's really RK. RK is Rak. Rak. And like the Hebrew word Rak, what does the Apostle say? Rak, Hishom Elecho, Shmur Nafshecho Ma'oi, Pentika, Zadvorim Asheroi, Necho, Pen Yosuru Bilvoko. So that's RK. RK is Rak. Rak, Hishom Elecho, to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he permits it, although he says he wishes to consult with other Gdeli Hador on the matter too, but the Chorin should be permitted. Okay, we'll stop here for today.